Welcome to Series 5 of My Life in Design, brought to you by the DBA and design-focused PR agency Red Setter. I'm Claire Blythe, co-founder of Red Setter. In this series, I'll be speaking to more people who are shaping the world of design, finding out how they discovered that design was a thing you could base a career around, and how they got to where they are today.
This week, I'm here with Alex Center, founder and creative director of Brooklyn-based design and branding company Center. Alex spent 10 years before this client-side designing for Coca-Cola before starting his own agency and working with brands such as Liquid Death, Apple, New Balance, United Sodas of America, King Euphorics, and Magic Spoon. Alex, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Claire. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Very excited to speak to you. I'm really interested in your journey and how you got into everything, especially with all your years at Coke and then starting off Center. Tell me, when did you realize design was a thing that you could look at as a career? Was it when you were a kid, teenager?
So not till much later, actually.
Okay.
I grew up loving brands. And so I was really into fashion and sort of wearing brands like as a part of my identity. Because I was really shy and socially awkward and introverted and always like 30 pounds overweight. So I wasn't the most like outgoing, confident kid. And so I was always really into sports. I was always really into sort of music, but I was really also into Nike and Tommy Hilfiger and Nautica and Polo Sport and wearing brands and putting clothes on that made me feel confident, made me feel sort of better than I felt, I guess, or the ability to sort of talk to other people with a little bit of swagger. And so I was always into brands and I was always into art. So my mom is a calligrapher and a painter. And so she and I used to draw like still lifes as a passion project, like as a hobby, as a kid. This was before the internet. And so we had things called hobbies back then.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
So, yeah. So we'd set up like a fruit bowl and we'd just like get out our pencils and we would draw together. And I kind of realized early on that I had a little bit of her talent. Like I had inherited her ability to kind of capture things sort of realistically. And yeah, I just really always felt like comfortable and confident also in the art classroom. So in like elementary school and high school, like I wasn't very good at sports. I wasn't really good at music, but in the art room, teachers were very kind to me. And I felt like I had also a little bit of confidence there. So I kind of knew that I wanted to be in the field of art and that I always loved brands, but I didn't really know how to put those things together. I knew I didn't want to be a fine artist. And so I went to school for art. I got into the art program. And it wasn't until my sophomore year that I discovered communication design, which is the program that I was in, and then the job title of graphic designer. And then I was like, oh, that's me. Like, that's what I want to do. I want to work with brands. I want to be on the client, you know, client side or work, you know, making logos or brochures or posters. And I want to make money. Like, I want to have a job that pays me a salary. And I felt like in that moment, I was probably, you know, 18, 19. And I was like, this is it. And to be honest, I have never really looked back.
That sounds pretty damn good. Can I ask you, when you said you went to school for creative, what age was that? What age do you go to schools like that? What's the situation?
I guess you go to college. It's been a long time. So directly after high school. So I guess you're 17.
I see. So it's not high school. I know you do get some schools in America now. You like that are high schools for creative.
Yeah, I did not go to one of those. I went to a public school, you know, in Oceanside, the town that I grew up in, and about 45 minutes outside of New York City. So I dabbled a little bit with Photoshop, you know, in sort of like a computer art class in high school, I recall. But there was definitely no like formal graphic design programs at this time. This was, you know, sort of 1999. It was a miracle that they even had computers in a classroom at that time.
Well, that's it. A lot of the teachers probably just wouldn't have known graphic design was a thing.
It wasn't a thing. I mean, it was a thing, but it was such a niche profession. And that I always talk about this to students or to young designers, like, you know, kids grow up and they know about graphic design when they're 8, 9, 10. They get Photoshop and Adobe Suite and they have a Mac and they can make stuff. People start freelancing, taking clients on at like 13 now. And so I think that's incredible. But for me, it just wasn't that popular when I was growing up in the 90s. So it wasn't till I went to college and probably around 2000 that I was like, okay, this is a job, this is a career, this is what I want to do with my life.
Yeah. So tell me about college. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I went to university at Buffalo. So it's a state school here in New York, and it was really cold and a lot of snow, but I wanted to get a regular sort of college experience. Yeah. I didn't go to SVA or Parsons or Pratt or any of the sort of fine arts colleges. And that was a conscious decision I remember making, thinking that I wanted to go to like basketball games and go to like, you know, like regular college parties and things like that. And I didn't want to just be surrounded by only people that were artists or designers. I didn't even know what a designer was. So I just knew that I wanted the college experience, and I'm a big sports fan. And so I just wanted that experience for myself. And so I went to, you know, state school, and I got into the art program before I got there. So I was already in the art world at the Center for the Arts, which had my name on it. I thought that was great. And so there you kind of take the full curriculum of painting and drawing and everything else, performance art. And then, you know, through that process, I discovered graphic design, and I met my wife also. So it was a great experience all around, and I don't regret that decision whatsoever.
Yeah, that sounds like a very good move. Yeah, a regular college experience. So what did you do from there? I've been looking into your background and saw that you did some internship at the Knicks.
Yeah. So my first job as a designer was it was an internship in my senior year. And I wanted to work with my favorite brands. Like that was sort of very much like my dream job. Like, and I always say that my dream job wasn't to work for Pentagram or to work for Stefan Sagmeister or Brian Collins. It was really to work for the Knicks or Apple or, you know, something that I was passionate about. Nike, Tommy Hilfiger, like these were the things I was passionate about. And this is what I was into in my personal life. So for me, if I could work a career at one of those places as a designer, to me, that was the dream. And so I applied for a number of jobs. As I mentioned, I grew up outside of, you know, 45 minutes outside of New York City. And so I applied for a job at Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I got the gig, and I was a part of the art and design department. And there were four of us, me included, the intern. And we did all the design for both the Knicks and the Rangers. So it was,
oh my God, that's just like a dream job.
It was really cool. And I always talk about it. It was really my first instance in which I was a fly on the wall in a room where design was being both made and also presented. And that was a big experience for me.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Do you know how many people applied for it?
I have no idea, to be honest. And the Madison Square Garden internship program is quite broad. They have like 30, 40, 50 interns each summer, but only one of them goes to the art department. One else goes to like, you know, sales, and one goes to marketing, or, you know, there's so much that happens there. So for me, it was the one gig, and I was so excited about it because I could take the train from my home on Long Island and go to the city and just go right up to the office. And it was an amazing experience and a wonderful summer. And I remember my professors at college didn't really totally understand it, you know, because they were sort of more classic in their design thinking. And they were really interested in me applying and being a part of this Milton Glaser internship program. I remember I turned it down because I wanted to work for the Knicks. And so they were quite confused by that decision, and rightfully so, looking back on it. I'm also quite confused by my decision at that time, but no regrets. It really led to my career path in the future.
Oh my God, definitely. I think it's a really interesting way of looking at it, that a lot of people I speak to, it is their ambition is to work for the greatest, like Milton Glaser, you know, Paul Scher, that kind of people that they see as the heroes. But the brands, and I see that as what you do now at Center, the brands that you work for, the brands that you're really into, which is brilliant.
I've always been more of a fan of brands than design, if that makes sense. And I think design is a means for me to work with brands. And so that was kind of my dream. And another thing I often think about is how being an in-house designer was not a concept that anyone ever talked to me about in college. Like, it was never presented to me as a path.
Wow.
It was be a designer, be an independent practitioner, or work for a boutique design studio, or work for, you know, sort of a Landor or Wolf Olins or some sort of like institutional design company. There was never a, at least, you know, there was never a conversation about you can go work for Apple or you can go work for Nike. That was not something I was aware of. But for me, that was my dream job. That was my dream.
What did you do after that? Where did you go after the Knicks?
So after the Knicks, I graduated from college. This is 2006. And I start hitting the pavement of New York City with my leather-bound portfolio, trying to get a job as an entry-level designer. And I remember being very nervous, like all, you know, sort of graduates are. And I wanted a gig, and I really wanted to go back to the Knicks. I wanted to go back to Madison Square Garden, but as I mentioned before, there wasn't a huge team. It was really quite small, so there wasn't really an opening for me. And so I was interviewing and sort of applying for things online and having interviews and talking, coming to the city and meeting different agencies and, yeah, having conversations and not really getting very far or getting much. And one day I got a call from a recruiter to interview for a job at a beverage company. And the beverage company was called Glasso, and they were in Whitestone, Queens. And she told me that it was a really cool company and that everyone there was sort of young and hip and, like, you know, it was a really great place to be. And she had placed like 30 or 40 different people within that company, not designers.
What did Glasso do? What's their...
So Glasso is a beverage company that made three brands at the time, three products: Fruit Water, which is dead, Smart Water, which is very much still thriving, and Vitamin Water, which was the hero brand of the business. Vitamin Water was sort of it wasn't exactly a household name at that time, but in the early 2000s, it was, you know, sort of well on its way to becoming an iconic beverage brand.
Wow, that's quite an exciting place to be. So you started as a junior designer.
So yeah, I went in for the interview and I met the creative director, Chad Hogan, and he and I just clicked immediately. And he had actually gone to Buffalo. He's about like 10 to 15 years older than I am. And so we were both fans of hip hop, and he had worked quite a bit in hip hop before he got to Glasso and to Vitamin Water. And so he was looking for a junior designer, the first designer hired for his, you know, his team. He had been hired, I think, maybe less than a year before I had, and was sort of looking to build an in-house design team because he didn't have one, and he had a couple of freelancers, but he was looking to hire sort of a full-time designer, the first one. And I went in and I got the job.
Awesome. That's really cool.
So
that's your first proper role. How did you find it?
I loved it instantly because I remember, you know, just kind of like clicking with Chad. I had a good interview with him, a good conversation. And I remember it was like on a Friday, I wore a red polo and slacks because they told me not to like dress up because it's not a very sort of fancy attire required business, but also to not look like, you know, a schlub. And so I remember distinctly sort of walking out and being feeling good, you know, like being like, oh, that went really well, and I hope I get that job I really wanted. And I think I recall getting either a call. I don't know exactly what happened, but they said, hey kid, you know, you start Monday. And so I was thrilled, honestly, you know, not just to get a job, but to get a job for a brand that I was also, you know, a fan of because I had drank Vitamin Water before. But the beverage brand was doing really unique and new things. Like, first and foremost, the design of Vitamin Water, I always say you could teach a whole class on sort of branding from just that label and just that design itself. On top of that, they were doing partnerships with rappers like 50 Cent, who was a big part of the early success of the brand, and athletes. They had hired sort of a sort of fantasy roster of athletes, maybe like 20 or so professional sports figures, to promote the brand locally around America.
Oh, cool.
And Chad at that time was a music fan, but not so much a sports fan. And so I was able to kind of come in and be a designer that also knew sports. And that was really, again, I had this New York Knicks internship. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of the perfect resume for that job was like someone who also is a 50 Cent hip hop fan.
Oh my God,
And also a designer that knows sports and knows all these 20 athletes, including like, you know, David Wright and Ray Allen and Brian Urlacher and all these guys that were sort of the influencers, I guess, of the brand at that time.
Did you get to meet them?
I got to meet a ton of them. Yeah, no, a big part of my job was doing sort of local activations for the brand, like Vitamin Water was starting to show up in sort of states and around America for the first time. And so this kind of strategy that they had is quite brilliant, where they would hire what they call a local hero. And so it would be like in New York, it was David Wright because he was on the Mets and everyone knew who he was. But, you know, sort of in Texas, it was Tony Parker because he played for the Spurs. And so a lot of the work I was doing like local activations for events or point of sale for stores that had these athletes on them. And so so they could have kind of localized marketing. And so we would sometimes do photo shoots with those guys and I would get to like travel and have them just do like a drink shot to camera. And then I would be like, cool, we got it. And then we would, you know, that was kind of it. So yeah, it was a really cool, amazing first job in the business because working in-house at a beverage company that was really starting to get some traction.
Yeah.
There was so much to do. You know what I mean? There were so many jobs that they needed a designer for. So I got to do a little bit of everything from, you know, designing to packaging to marketing to photo shoots to copywriting, you know, commercial concepting, everything.
That's amazing. That is like a dream job. So you get to design for a brand that you love, all the different parts of design that you can do, and you get to travel around the states and you get to meet your sports heroes. Did you meet 50 Cent?
Of course, yeah.
No, awesome.
Yeah, one of my first like successful things that I did there was sort of pitch an idea or a concept for a photo shoot for 50 Cent where everyone, so I had this job and yes, I loved it. I was so proud of it too. Like as a brand, you know, guy, like to work for Vitamin Water was like so amazing. And it was so, it just felt like it gave me confidence too. And it, like, so all my friends are getting jobs and most of my friends are not designers. So they get jobs and they're getting, you know, paid or this or that. And so for me to go and work at a really cool beverage company in Queens that everyone has sort of heard of and 50 Cent is the sort of main sponsor of, like, it was literally a dream come true. And everyone there was so cool and nice and young and hip and fun. It just was like, at times it didn't even feel like a job. I was so like, I remember we'd do trips to get the whole company together because we had the main headquarters and then like salespeople all around the country. And so we'd do like a trip to like Vegas or a trip to like Palm Springs and we'd rent out a whole hotel and everyone everyone would just be like having fun and swimming in the pool at 2 a.m. And I was like, this is my job. this is what work is like. I was thrilled. And so I really did have a dream job and pitching ideas for 50 Cent and, you know, getting to go to the photo shoot and meet him. And it was everything I could have ever asked for in a entry level design position.
Absolutely. Really, so did you move from there to Coca-Cola?
So Coca-Cola bought Glasso.
I see.
I was acquired. Wasn't just me, but it was quite a number of us. And so the business was doing well. And so about a year and some change after I'd gotten there. So it wasn't that long before Coca-Cola, I walked into the office one day in Whitestone, Queens, and everyone was celebrating, drinking Cristal. And it was a pretty magnificent feeling because a lot of those people had been working on the business probably, you know, 5 years or so from sort of its inception. And everyone in the business had equity. So everyone that worked there had a piece of the pie, including me as a junior graphic designer.
That's really cool.
And yeah, Coke bought the company for $4.1 billion and changed my life forever.
God, yeah, absolutely. So what happened then? Everyone didn't just retire and go off.
Some people did. I didn't get rich enough to do that. Yeah. But I always say I got 22-year-old rich, which now that I'm almost 40, is not quite as rich as I thought I was at that time. But it was pretty amazing. And yeah, I always say that in the beginning, nothing changed immediately. Yeah. And that was by purpose because Coke had acquired this business that really had that relationship with consumers that, you know, is the feeling that we're all trying to search for. We're all striving to create with any of the work that we do. And so it was the hottest brand in the world. Like, it really was. And celebrities were drinking it and being photographed, and not because they were paid, just because they were fans of the brand. And so for me, I was worried about losing my job because, like I just said, I had this dream job and I was learning so much and I was having so much fun that I was a little nervous at first. But yeah, for the first couple of years, it was just, we kept our office, we kept doing the things that we were doing. We just got, you know, Coca-Cola email addresses, and we had a little bit more budget to do the things that we were doing. So that was awesome. And so I would say for the first few years, didn't really change that much. Mm-hmm. And all the people that made the most amount of money, I think they contractually, I believe they had to stay for a couple of years. And so it really did feel the same for quite a while. And then maybe like 4 or 5 years later, we moved to a new office on Madison Avenue in New York City versus Queens, which was beautiful and amazing. And things started to shift a little bit in that we were now kind of plugged in a little bit more to the Atlanta Coca-Cola sort of company. We always had a satellite office. It was always in New York. So we had an office in Queens. And then when Coke bought us, we stayed there for a couple of years. And then eventually we moved to a new sexy New York City sort of office that was Coca-Cola. I remember on the doors, it said Coca-Cola and Glasso in like equal sized fonts. So I was like, you know, it's a real kind of co-branded space that this is. And we would work on. So I, at this point, I was working for Coke, and I wasn't just working on Vitamin Water and Smart Water. I was also working on other brands inside the Coca-Cola portfolio. And they kind of created this active lifestyle brands segment that was based in New York. So yeah, it was still incredible. Like, I was working at Coca-Cola. I got to work on other brands like Powerade, which as a sports fan, like that was so fun for me because Powerade is a really great brand and it's also a challenger brand. So that was really fun to like work on this brand that was sort of competing with Gatorade. And I got to work on a rebrand for Powerade that was sort of a big moment in my career. So yeah, things at Coke were good for me. They were really good.
What was your next step up in Coke then? Because today you were in a few positions there. You were there for about 10 years?
I was there for 10 years from 2007 to 2017. So yeah, I kind of climbed my way up the corporate ladder by, you know, going from junior designer to designer to lead designer or senior designer, which I was doing on Powerade because I kind of just, I took a break from Vitamin Water for a bit. And I was really focused on helping Powerade kind of get into the next generation because they were sort of reinventing themselves. And so I worked on that for quite a while. And then Chad Hogan, the one that I mentioned earlier, who had given me my start, left Coca-Cola, and I was able to kind of climb up to design director. That meant that I was able to manage multiple brands within the Coca-Cola portfolio and oversee a lot of brand marketing and design. And I always say packaging was always a huge part of my job at Coke because how we looked on shelf, how we looked, you know, in boxes and labels and promos and all that kind of work was hugely important to my position.
Yeah, absolutely. So as design director, that's still, just for people listening that don't quite know what the design director does, that's managing teams, but it's still designing as well. You're still creating the brands.
Yeah. And one of the things that made that job so cool for me was that I got to work with agencies. And as Coca-Cola was sort of growing, or not Coca, like as the relationship or as the sort of, you know, Vitamin Water brand inside of Coca-Cola was expanding and changing, like I got to work with tremendous advertising agencies and design agencies. And I worked with, you know, Droga5 and Wieden and Kennedy and all these Anomaly and a lot of really great creative shops. Yeah. And then on the design side, got to sort of work with like Turner Duckworth or a design studio out of San Francisco called Hatch. And then eventually I was able to bring in Collins, So I know you, Claire, you had Brian on the show. He's a hero of mine and a friend. And so I was able to bring in Collins sort of in more of the later years that I was at Coke to help kind of reinvigorate vitamin water for a new generation.
That's really cool. So you stuck with vitamin water throughout?
Yeah. I mean, that's where I started. And I was always, always, always involved in vitamin water. There was like a year or two where I kind of was a little bit more focused on Powerade, but I was always in the mix on vitamin water. And I still really deeply care about that brand a ton. And yeah, it's a unique relationship that I have with both vitamin water and smart water and Powerade, I'd also include. Those were really the three brands throughout my 10 years that I was most deeply and closely involved with.
Yeah, okay. So tell me about, when did the idea of Center happen? Was it bubbling away in your mind that you wanted to do something on your own?
So about 10 years ago, I turned 30. Mm-hmm. And I think when you turn 30 or you turn any big number, you get a bit existential and you start to question your life and what you're doing and everything in a way that I hadn't really experienced before. And I had been at Coke for quite a while. So this was a job I'd done for many years. And I was kind of questioning what was next. And I think part of that was because I had done it for so long and it was really the only job I'd ever had. Like, you know, going through that story, like I had worked for the Knicks for a summer, but then I had worked at Vitamin Water and then I worked at Coke for this, you know, 10 years. That was the only job, really. At times it felt like I was, you know, I never really done, you know, I never interviewed. Like I had just never even like had any other position really at all. And I had never worked on any other brands. So I was starting to get antsy. And also I just felt, you know, it's interesting. I think about this a lot where I'm not a guy that takes a lot of chances. I'm not a guy that makes a lot of big risks in life. I get nervous and scared, anxious. And so I felt a little bit like I was in this amazing job and I was doing a lot of speaking engagements.
Yeah.
So I started doing keynotes and talks all around the world. And I loved it. I caught the bug for public speaking. And for me, that was like the most horrifying thing in the world. Like, you know, a 19-year-old version of Alex was like, that's his biggest fear, is to sort of have a spotlight on you and a microphone. And so I kind of got addicted to it. Like someone who's afraid of heights that loves skydiving, you know, like I just loved overcoming that fear and it was awesome. And so I started doing it quite a bit and traveling the world and telling my story about being an in-house designer and sort of working on these brands and my path and my story. And I found it really rewarding. I was, you know, trying to showcase a different path. So I felt like, you know, at Coke, I had this design director job and I started making a name for myself a little bit, you know, through social media and stuff and these public speaking engagements. And I just was really afraid of losing all of that. Like I'd worked for 10 years to build up this amazing portfolio of work and this reputation and everything. And I just was like really, really nervous to like leave it. I felt like I could walk away from it and I would, you know, lose everything. You know, that was kind of my fear at that moment, or what, you know, sort of my biggest insecurities were. And then my wife launched an idea that she had. My wife is also a designer and also a creative director. And so she was working on the agency side for most of those 10 years that I was
Where was she? What agency?
She was at 360i, Saatchi & Saatchi, BBDO, like all the sort of agencies in
New York. Okay.
So she had a great
world, but different sides of that. Interesting.
Yeah. And she had a great career. And I would always say, I'm the client and she's the, you know, she's the agency. You know, that was always kind of the dynamic. So we did something very similar, but she was more in advertising and I was more on the design side, but very similar. And certainly, you know, we have a lot in common in terms of what we do and we're professional creatives. And so she had an idea for a designer shower cap.
Yeah.
And that was something that kind of came to her and sort of was something that she was looking for in her personal life and didn't exist. And she decided
side hustle design and shower caps.
So yes. So while she was working in advertising, she had this idea for a new type of shower cap that would look and more like a turban and perform more like a performance a ski jacket. So essentially both form and function. And she had this idea that she was going to reinvent the shower cap for the modern woman. And she did it completely by herself, like no outside funding or no parents' money or anything. She just took an idea and put it out into the world. And it was immediate success. It was immediate hit. She got a Fast Company feature in the first week. Wow. Reinventing the shower cap for the modern woman. You can look it up right now. It's still there. And that included her like pencil sketches and a photo shoot that she had done with kind of some friends. And as an art director, the brand looked like incredible, like $1 billion brands from the first second it was online.
Wow.
And that really inspired me. Like it really showed me that you could quit your job or not quit your job. Like you could bet on yourself and have success. All you had to do was work really, really hard and never wash your hair. That was kind of the thing that I learned. And so, so she launched that company in 2015 after developing it for a couple of years, and it was just off to the races. And I supported by being, you know, her number one fan and by also packing boxes for, you know, holiday orders. And you know, our Williamsburg apartment became a sort of fulfillment center for a minute. And I was just so, so proud of her and still am. And the business is still, you know, thriving and still worn by millions of people around the world.
That's brilliant.
And she sells in all major retailers and buy your mom one for Mother's Day coming up right now. Go to showercap.com with three H's. It really inspired me. And I think as someone that I always use the same analogy, which is it seems impossible to run a marathon to me.
Yeah.
And I think it seems impossible to run 26 miles.
Yes.
But if you have a close family member or a roommate or someone that you love, train, run, and then do it, you start to see that it's possible.
Yeah.
And you believe that maybe you could do it too. Having that experience of watching my wife kind of go from concept to talking to people about this idea, to sketches, to designing, to product manufacturing, like product testing, and really to just make a company and a business, a brand. From nothing. I was like so inspired and so I was like, I can do this too.
You did it. You handed your notice and started Up Center.
Yeah. I didn't have an idea for any products. You know, my ideas for, you know, hot sauces or sort of other things were not as good as Jackie's at all.
Yeah.
But I knew that I wanted to have a design studio. Yeah. And that's always been a dream of mine. Of course, I feel like every designer dreams of putting their last name on the door and open up shop. And so my last name is Center. And so that was an easy decision. I'm incredibly fortunate to have a pretty solid last name for a brand and a company.
Definitely.
And yeah, I left my job at Coke on August 31st, 2017. And I started basically working on what would be Center September 1st. 2017. Wow. And took 0 days off. I don't recommend that, kids. I don't.
Yeah, chill a bit in between.
Yeah, I should have done like a little bit of, you know, relaxation or a trip of some sort, but I was really excited. You know what I mean? I'm a very passionate person. And, you know, I was like, I'm going to do this. And this is my time. And I was ready to do it. And it was the right time. Shower Cap had been in the world for a couple of years. And I was just like, it's my time. And so I officially launched Center April of 2018. So just about 6 years ago.
How did you get your first clients?
So my first clients were mostly people that I had worked with throughout my 10-year career at Coca-Cola.
Yeah, perfect.
And that was not intentional. That was not methodically planned out. I always say when I left Coke, I had no team, no clients, and nothing. Like I didn't have anything lined up strategically in that way. So yeah, no, when I opened up business, I really started kind of as a solo practitioner, really as like a freelancer designing. And when I announced it, I had a couple of people reach out to me that were people I had known at, you know, or had met throughout my career at Coke that were now at, you know, sort of a organic egg company or a hemp seed company you know, some sort of food and beverage startup. After the success of Vitamin Water and Coca-Cola, a lot of those people went on to work for small, independent sort of CPG companies with their next chapter. And so I was really fortunate that a couple of them hired me.
That's fantastic. So I love the sort of CPG that you do and stuff like Liquid Death and things like that. United States of America, all that kind of thing looks fantastic. But then you add in things like Apple as well.
Yeah. So United States of America, I always say, was a big moment for the studio. It was a project we started in our first year. So it was kind of that first opportunity to really build a brand from scratch and to kind of do something that was really 100% built by Center as a brand. And yeah. I always knew that that was something I was really interested in doing. I wanted to do two things. I wanted to work with my favorite brands and I wanted to build brands from scratch. And yeah. I felt like I wanted to do both of those things. And so our website at the very beginning said Center is a branding and design company in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. We turn sort of startups into icons and help icons act a little bit more like startups. And so that was kind of our first, like, my first thought really was like, I wanted to work with new businesses, entrepreneurs, small companies, and really create brands, the next generation of icon brands. And United Sodas of America was, there's a long story there, but international businessmen reached out through Instagram. They were looking to launch a soda company in America and they only had the name. They had United Sodas of America.
It's a great name. I love it.
And it's a great name, except for at the time, America was not exactly united and Donald Trump was our president and soda was like hated as well. Like no one wanted to drink soda. Seltzer was what everyone was into and soda brands were kind of on the decline and soda was like public enemy number one. We had a lot to overcome, I think, or a lot to sort of figure out on how that name could become something that people didn't immediately think as like patriotic sugar.
Yeah, that is true. It could quite easily have gone that direction. But yes. Yeah, what you did with it, if anyone's not seen it, check it out online because it does look fantastic. The whole range together looks brilliant.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it really was a landmark moment for Center because when the minute it came out, it immediately people were obsessed. And yeah. It worked in the way that I always say we work on brands pre-launch and you just, you know, you think about the day that it's going to come out and what people are going to think about it. And, you know, people are going to, you know, match these cans to their clothes and you're going to get people doing all sorts of fun and amazing things as an accessory versus a soda company, you know, and you just dream of what people are going to do with the brand and how they're going to take it and run with it. But none of that is promised at all. And so when it started happening pretty quickly, it was pretty thrilling and really exciting and our first real big hit as a studio. And I always say you can see the vitamin water in it. You could see the vitamin water to United Sodas, sort of, you know, the segue there and sort of the things I learned there and how I put that into a new soda company.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to ask about how you keep yourself inspired creatively, but it sounds like the brands themselves just really inspire you and get you excited. Is that true?
Yeah, no, I love brands. I still do. I have a podcast every week where we talk about what's going on in the world of branding and design. Yeah. And so I'm still really always tracking and trying to stay up on what's going on in the world of all brands, really, and culture. I think that's really what inspires me the most. I try not to look at like other design studios so much. Like I know that that's a big thing that designers do. And of course I'm of guilty of it at times, but I really am mostly inspired by culture and by what brands are doing. And I'm a fan first. Like it's kind of where that's my perspective on the work that we do. And so it's always really exciting when a brand that I'm a fan of, like Liquid Death or Magic Spoon or House Aperitifs or King Euphorics, comes to us or emails us and says, hey, we have a project and we'd love to see, you know, work together. And so for me, that's like, that's literally why I do this. Like it's the dream to get a call from a brand that I'm a fan of and be like, hey, like, do you want to help us and work with us to do something? And I'm like, yeah, definitely. 100%.
That is very cool. Yes. So can we talk about the design industry itself? You're not particularly, you're not looking at competitors all the time, which I think is a healthy place to be. Do you feel part of the design industry? Do you find any of it challenging?
I think everybody feels like an outsider to the design industry. I've noticed that. Like, I feel like this, you know, in terms of the sort of, I always call it like the white picket fence of like design, where it's like everyone feels like they are on the outside looking in. And I think that's just like, I didn't go to like an art school, like I mentioned. And I feel like I just think that everybody feels like they're a bit of an outsider to it. And what I've realized is by, you know, I've met some people that I thought were on the inside, you know, your Brian Collinses or your, you know, Michael Bayruths or your Debbie Millmans. And, you know, I realized that all these people, there is no inside, you know, there's no meetings where all the, you know, sort of design Illuminati meet up and like, there's no secret club. And so I think I do feel like now part of what I do is trying to knock down that fence.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the reasons why I do a podcast and I do as many speaking engagements as possible to really talk about kind of design in a way that feels relatable or that feels more sort of human and more friendly and more like from a friend versus from an expert and from a fan. You know, I think that's kind of always been my perspective. And I think that has worked pretty well for me because I really care about all the brands and all the people that we work with.
Yeah, that comes across. You can tell you're already passionate about it. So.
Of course, we have to get paid because I have employees. I have 10 people on payroll. But like, as soon as that part is settled, and I actually, you know, kind of been thinking about this a lot lately, it's like, I just want to be in the creative part of it. You know what I mean? And that's what gets me really, really excited. And so if I can work with, you know, my favorite brands and work with Apple and New Balance and also help, you know, Magic Spoon and Liquid Death and then also be building the next Liquid Death and the next Magic Spoon and the next United Sodas, like that, I am literally living inside of my dream job. That is what I've been doing and I hope it never ends.
Can I ask you finally tips for juniors starting out today? I think it's always interesting to ask each guest on the show this. What would you advise young people to do?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm a mentor at the Masters in Branding program at SVA, which I've been doing for 8 years or so. And I didn't go to SVA, you know, like I went to a state school. So for me, that feels like I broke in the back door, I guess, somewhere. And it's an awesome privilege and it's an awesome opportunity for me to talk to students. And so I meet a ton of students and I have multiple mentees. And it's funny, like I always tell them it's kind of the same thing. It's like designers think that the work is the only thing that's going to matter to getting them a job. They're like, what's my portfolio? What's this? You know, I need to get this job or I need to do this thing. My work. And I always say like 50% of being a designer is the work that we do. The other 50% is like all the soft skills, all the sort of people skills, all the like, you know, kindness and caring and taste and intelligence and cultural understanding and, you know, all these things that I think really make for a great brand designer. You have to be comfortable talking about your work and having a good attitude about it. And honestly, I always, you know, vitamin water, there was a saying attitude over skills. And I bring that with me here. And I think about that every day because I think that, you know, designers and certainly students and young people have gotten so talented and so wonderfully gifted at the craft of design. Yeah. And I think that is now table stakes in a lot of ways. Right. And I think that design is obviously immensely important. You're like your work and your, you know, how much time you put into that, like that obviously gets you in the door. Is the only way you're going to get inside of any design studio or any opportunity. Yeah. But what happens after that is not just about the work. It's about, you know, everything else that I kind of talked about. And I think attitude for me is the number one thing is because I'm looking for people that are thrilled and excited and pumped about doing the work that we do. And that's so critically important, especially when you work on a project for 6 months, a year. Like, of course, like when you're doing something that's thrilling and exciting and everyone's pumped about it, you know, it's very easy to sort of bring a positive attitude. But yes, when you're in round five in month six and your client is still not, you know, feeling right about what you're doing and giving, you know, there are obstacles that you will have to face as a designer, because at the end of the day, it is a job and there's a lot of pieces that come with it that are not just what you make. And they're much more soft skills and they're people skills. And yeah, I think that's what I have realized about the most successful designers on the planet, is that they all have two things in common. They're kind and they care. And that is 1,000% true. And that's not say they're kind of care and they're immensely mega talented. That's not, you know, that's not always the case, but they care deeply about others and the work they do. And they show that. They're not afraid to show that they care, and they treat other people with kindness. And that to me is like what I want to be remembered for.
I think that's a very good thing to be remembered for. Absolutely. I'm sure you will. Alex, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. That was fantastic.
My absolute pleasure. And thank you so much for having me. And it's an honor to be on your amazing show. And we'll talk again soon.
Definitely. Thank you.